How many are familiar with the movie X-Men? Are you familiar with the movie X-Men? If you're not familiar with the movie X-Men, it's based upon these guys and gals who have supernatural powers but live on the earth. They're a weird bunch of people, and some of them are identifiably weird, strange, but they have these super. Oh, and Pastor Adam's leaving now. If you're between the ages of say 13 and 18, you can join him. He's going that way. But these X-Men, they have these supernatural powers, and I was reminded as I read this particular text we're going to read in a minute of this story from X-Men, if you remember it. Wolverine and Storm were doing a training drill. Remember that? And they were doing a training drill, and lots of times I feel like this, you know, in the faith. They're doing a training drill, and Wolverine, now if you don't know, Wolverine knows what he's about. He knows his power. He understands his ability. He knows his mission. He knows that there's good and there's bad, and he understands where he is in the middle of that. And he is unashamedly Wolverine. And so they're in the middle of this training seminar, and all of a sudden Wolverine's this is just silly. And so he just ends it. He goes, he's like, hey dude, throw me up into the middle of the machine, I'm going to kill it, and we're going to end this thing. And so he just goes ahead, and he just ends the whole thing. And then Storm, you know, Halle Berry, Storm, she's like, you're not allowed to do that, Wolverine. He's like, what do you mean? I could do what I want. I'm an X-Men. I could do what I want. But she said, you're not allowed to do that. You gotta play by the rules. I feel like in the kingdom, those who are born again Christ believers, we spend a lot of time in training. And really, we should spend our time. See, this is the training session. Wolverine knew it. He said, listen, I am an X-Men. I've been engineered to win. I'm supernaturally equipped to take care of bad guys. It's something when you were singing Abba, when you begin to know who you are, perspectives change, church. You're singing Abba. Sometimes I go play basketball and I bring my ball and I got my name on it. And at the end of the game, I'm like, hey, give me my ball. It's mine. It belongs to me. You can't have it. I'm not leaving it here. It's mine. You know God has his name on you? He's got his name on you. And you're playing right now. Believe it or not, this is just a practice drill. This is just practice. We're just shooting around. You say, but the fight seems real. Like there's cancer we're fighting against. It's just a drill. This isn't real. This is shadows. This life is shadows. And if you could get the mindset of like Wolverine, like Jesus. You know, like Matrix. You know, when Neo's like, he looks at the bullets and they're coming at him. He's just that's you. That you just, this isn't real. So you can bring it, but this isn't real. Matthew 12, verse 1. This is the text for the day. I was reminded of all of that when reading this. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Now, that sentence is loaded. The Sabbath, meaning that, remember, where Jesus came into, there was laws on the Sabbath. Some things you're allowed to do, a lot of things you're not allowed to do. You ever feel like that? Man, I can do a little bit, but I feel like there's a whole lot I'm not allowed to do. You're not allowed to do this. And the Sabbath here in Jesus' day, it's letting you know, it's setting up the context of, hey, there's a time, and then there's some grain fields, and they're walking through them, but don't forget, it's the Sabbath. There's some rules here. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." "You're not allowed to do that," they said. "You are not allowed to do what you're doing." That word there, at that time, it means kairos. It means kairos. Listen to what it means. At that time, it means in between. Kairos, the time as opportunity. It means time as opportunity. It's not like chronological time, which is linear, which moves forward. This word kairos means time as opportunity. It gives you the sense that the time that's being referenced here it holds potential for something. Like there's something wrapped in this moment. We were talking about a moment earlier. Don't let this moment pass by. Experience everything in this moment. In this, it's kairos. In this moment, it's a favored time. It literally means God time. God time. Time as opportunity. Meaning that the moments we're sitting in right now, the moments we're experiencing right now are loaded with something. They're loaded with something. And they walk through the grain fields. And grain fields there means previously sown. Previously sown. So get this in your mind. They have probably walked by this field countless times before. But at that time, it was a different moment. This moment was an opportunity. It was loaded with potential. And they're walking through the grain fields and they were hungry. Can you see them? And they're walking through the grain fields and their hands are touching the top of the heads and they're reaching down and they're pulling up the grain fields and they're eating them. And then there are some standing by who said, you're not allowed to do what you're doing. Why? Because it's the Sabbath and there are laws. That you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to operate in that yet. You're not allowed to do that. So often, we're taken by the spirit of, if you've not heard that, You've felt the spirit of you're not allowed to do that. When when you get in God's presence, and if you've never been there, you experienced a little bit of it earlier. When God's presence near, there's this joy. There's this joy that's present, and you don't know whether to laugh or cry. Sometimes I do both. But notice in those moments that there is such a freedom that almost you feel and sense in your spirit, not your carnal mind, you feel like anything can happen in this moment. Don't you? You feel like, God, you could do whatever you want right now. Right? You ever feel like that? This is what they felt when they walked through those grain fields. They were walking with Christ. They were walking through these grain fields. And how often, do we walk through kairos moments without knowing what God has placed there, the provision of God? They walk through the provision of God. It's already been there. God already set it up. God already made it happen. Somebody says previously sown. These fields, they were God produced. This was a God produced moment. And how often, think about what day we're in now. This is an interesting time to be in. Interesting time to be in. It is December 29th, right? How many more days until the beginning of the year? Three or four? Somebody do the math. Give me a calendar, guys. I got an image of a calendar. We're going to count the days. Hey, there they are. So four. We were all wrong. One, two, three, there are four boxes, right? But you're not counting today? That's interesting. That's interesting. You won't count this moment. This moment doesn't count. As if God's not in this moment. Huh. As if this moment hasn't been previously sown by the Creator. As if this moment doesn't contain in it a seed sown by heaven. As if in this moment you can't be healed like that. But we live in between, don't we? We live in the reality of earth. Oh, the desperate cry of heaven. We all look forward to the first, you know. Gyms are empty now, but on the first, I promise you, on the first, gyms will be full. There'll be guys there. There's no vegetables in the refrigerator now, but on the first, it's going to be loaded with veggies. We're not eating salad now because we're just going to get it all in until the first. But on the first, everything's going to change, man. I'm getting buff. I'm changing my ways. I got stuff I got. I'm focused on the first. Something's going to happen on the first. If I had any Christian corny in me, I would think up a phrase, a Christian phrase. Going to be mean in 2014 or something like that, you know. Can't stand that. By the way, we disregard the grain fields we walk through. We despise them. We walk by them every day. How many days have we walked by and disregarded what was sown by God? The Kairos moments. Loaded, man, loaded. Loaded with heaven. They're loaded. These fields. Now, look, listen, they're fields. It's a grain field. So that brings a different perspective to when Jesus looked out on the fields that were white in the harvest, doesn't it? He said, the Bible says that Jesus, he wept as he looked out at the fields. He's like, oh man, they are so ripe. These moments, so ripe. And we always apply that to, they're so ripe because, you know, the field is ready to harvest, meaning the souls are ready to harvest. But I think he meant, man, heaven's ready to manifest now. Heaven is like the earth. Kairos, think about this. The chronological only exists to manifest the Kairos. Time as we know it only exists because it's pregnant with heaven. It's been, time has been conceived. Chronos has been conceived with Kairos when Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine, he planted in the earth heaven. That's why I can't stand when people talk about, listen, we're all going to heaven. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. Woohoo! Yay, God. But when I get to heaven, man, it's going to be awesome. It's cool. I understand that. But I'm not in a hurry to get there because the earth needs heaven more than heaven needs heaven. Andrew Metz needs heaven. Huh? And the scriptures declare that when Jesus died on the cross, on that day, heaven was planted in the earth. Like a big syringe of heaven, and injected into the earth. There. Take it. It's loaded. Every moment that you walk in is pregnant with destiny and heaven. But we don't count today, and we don't count the first. Evidently, we only count tomorrow and the day before. But the rest are despised. We're in between. We're in between. But if we could only see time like this here. This firecracker. This firecracker holds potential, wouldn't you say? Hold it in your hand and let me light it. Come on. Hey, whoever said you're not counting today, raise your hand. I want you to hold this firecracker for me. The 29th doesn't matter. Here, hold this. You would, Doug. And I promise you, you would see that this moment does matter. The potential of this moment does matter. Because as soon as I take the lighter and I spark it, you know as well as I do, something's about to be released from the potential inside of this firecracker. Huh. So who wants to hold it? Who wants to hold this moment of God in their hand and disregard the potential of it? Who's going to despise this moment and say, man, it's just, you know what? It doesn't even matter. Today doesn't even matter. As if it doesn't have something to give you. As if it doesn't hold any potential. But it does. It holds potential. It holds potential. Holds potential. Time, just like that firecracker. It's loaded with bangs. It's loaded, and it waits for a spark. It just waits for a spark. A spark of faith. It says, somebody light it. Somebody just ignite it. Somebody with the fire of heaven on the earth. Somebody who holds the burning candle, the one in the middle. Somebody with that kind of flame, just put it to the wick. Just somebody, just ignite it. Just ignite it. I can see all of heaven leaning forward, looking at every moment that you and I possess, going, oh, it's somebody, just please light the match and just, oh my goodness. There's such a firework waiting to be released. But as soon as we get into messes, we're like, dear Jesus, take this day away. Make this day not exist. Instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to light this bad boy on fire. This is about to be blown up by Jesus. The Spirit of Christ inside of me is about to ignite this situation. It has no match. There's no power. Heaven has been sown in this moment, and it's about to be released by me because I'm the one who holds the fire of God inside of me. I've been created for this moment. I'm tailor fit. I've been fit like a suit for this moment. You want to get me up? Come get some. I'm ready for it. God has sown me into the world for this moment right here. And the disciples walking through it, they had a moment, man. They had that moment where the lights went on, Jack. They were like, oh, I'm an X-Man. Oh, I'm walking in some serious cool stuff right now. And they reach down their hand and they start to do what's against the law. They start breaking the law. I love when I get around Christians who break the law, religious law. Sometimes the other ones too, but sometimes a good friend of mine he was sick and he needed a campaign. And so I called up some lawbreakers, some spiritual lawbreakers. You know, sometimes man's laws are messed up. And so they do injustice to God's people. And I'll never forget, I was hanging off of I-90 with Elijah Frazier and Josh Cook one night, just trying to lead a campaign of life for this man named Brad. And sometimes you got to break the law. Sometimes you got to break the law. Have you ever felt like, oh, like Wolverine? This is silly. Why are we, this is silly, man. I have what this situation needs. I have what it needs. Oh, I'm so ready for it. I go to Haiti, you know, and I'm like, every time I go there, I feel like I'm always the rebel. I feel like my team is always the rebel. I take teams there and they're like, they don't look like other teams because they don't operate from religion. They operate from a relationship with Christ that has given them the fire of God. And so they walk in the situations. We walk in the hospitals. We don't ask permission to do what God told us to do. We just walk in and we take authority. We walk in and we lay hands on the sick and we see them. And we walk in and you see them recover. See, there's this place we've got to get where we walk through the grain fields of the earth. And we allow our hands to touch the tops. And we realize that these moments, they're God-produced moments. These are kairos moments. These are opportunities for heaven to manifest. Chronos is prophetic. Think about it. Time is prophetic. See, time as we know, as we think about it, and how we've experienced, just says you're an object of it. It's time's happening to you. But for us who are born again, who have the supernatural life of God, time is prophetic to us. Time prophesies to us of its power and its potential. Every day when we wake up, it's not like the unbeliever who wakes up. That's awfully arrogant to say, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. You are made of a different substance now. The Bible says that you are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that you exist in two places simultaneously? You presently, your body is here, but right now your spirit is with Christ in the heavenly places. To dwell in Christ means you exist eternally, but you're just forced to dwell within the confines of time temporarily because you've been sent here to manifest heaven. That's crazy. You've been sent here to interpret the prophecy of time. Every prophetic moment that goes by has something wrapped in it, and you are the one that can interpret it. This brings me to my second point. We are going to have to get rid of those who say you can't do that. And when I say those, I'm talking to you. That self-talk that says you can't be healed. You can't walk in your purpose. You can't sing that song. You can't have that kind of liberty. You can't, you can't, you can't. You're not allowed, you're not allowed, you're not allowed. That's a religious spirit. It's a religious spirit lying to you, telling you you can't do that. That's against the law. That's a pharisaical a spirit that says you're not allowed to do that. What gives you the right to walk through those grain fields like that and pull up some food and eat when you're hungry? That doesn't mean you're not allowed. The law says so. Church says so. What? I'm walking with Jesus. This is the guy that owns it all. I'm with him. You ever pull I'm with him? I've had to do that. I'm with him. If you got a problem, go to him. You got to do that. You know, in life, you got to do that. When the doctor says something, listen, I'm sorry, but that does not apply to me. I am above the law. They got that one woman from India. She was an ambassador from India. And then they took her and they illegally searched her, put her in jail. You know what? They had to let her go. Because she's an ambassador. She's not from here. The laws of this place, they don't apply to her. She is from a different country. We are from a different country. And you need to understand that the laws of this place, they don't apply to us. We are above them. You can't put me in jail. You're not allowed to do that. You can't search me. You can't put cancer on me. You can't put any kind of funny disease on me. You can't call me out my name. You can't cause poverty to come upon me. I am above the law. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I live here in a strange land. I dwell in a strange land, but where I come from, this is not normal. The way you're treating me is not normal. Some of you are looking at me like, you have swallowed the blue junk. I've taken that one pill that once you eat it, things are not the same, Neo. Like, the matrix is revealed. And for some of you, you need to take it. It's time. Neo, it's time. You have a choice to make today. But when you take it, everything changes. It's time to get rid of the spirit of, you can't do this, it's against the law. I mentioned a while back, how many of you saw the plane, the big plane that landed in Kansas prematurely? It's called the Dreamlifter. If you're not familiar with the story, this plane is engineered. Interesting, I did some study on this plane. This plane called the Dreamlifter is engineered. And you know what it's engineered to do? It's engineered to fly higher, longer, faster. It's created, it's engineered to carry, interesting, other plane parts to other places. Its sole function, it opens up like this, so it can fit all the plane parts inside of it. Then it closes, and then they fly off. But its job is to manufacture other planes. Its sole job, it's what it does. It flies from place to place, and this plane that is engineered for greater flight to go where others are not permitted, it landed prematurely. Now, if you were a plane, you'd probably look at this plane and go, who do you think you are? Flying all around wherever you want. But there's an engineer that created this thing for greatness. You've been engineered for greater flight. You and I, we've been engineered for greater flight. And too often we hear that you're not allowed to do that, and it brings us down prematurely. That you're not allowed to do that spirit, it'll cause you to land in a place where you can't take off. It'll cause you to land in small areas. This plane, it lands in an airport 8 miles short of its destination. 8 miles short of its destination, short of where it was supposed to pick up its cargo and haul off, it landed and it couldn't take off because the runway wasn't big enough for it. If you and I continue to listen to this, you're not allowed to do that spirit, it'll cause us to come out of the heights of which we fly and land prematurely in a place that's too small. Some of you have not begun to fly to the heights of where God's called you to. Some of you are sitting on the potential of God so much so, because you've listened to that lying spirit. You've listened to it tell you you're not good enough, you can't do that, you're ugly, you're short. It just yells at you, and it's caused you to descend. And if you've not landed yet prematurely, you're definitely flying at a low altitude. You're in no way meeting the potential that God's sown into your life. Jesse, I just declare to you, that God, you are nowhere near the heights God's called you to. You've been engineered to fly higher. And you know what the interesting is? When you fly to your destination, you take a whole lot of people with you. Your flight carries people with you. You've been engineered for this. You're thinking about your flight, but it's really not your flight at all. Your flight includes the person to the right and left of you because they're going to enter a storm. And when they get in that storm, they're going to look to you and say, I need somebody to put me inside of their faith and carry me through this. I need some help. Help me through this storm. I recognize the anointing on your life. I recognize that you've been engineered by the Creator for me for this moment to fly me through it. How long will you ignore the deep, deep call inside of you? That great call. You know, every once in a while you get close to it and it scares you. I'm talking to somebody. Every once in a while you get near it and you get scared. You're like, oh no, not me. And so you run as far as you can, as fast as you can away from it. You've landed prematurely. The place where you've landed is too small. Hebrews 13:10. I've often read this text, and when I read it, it stirs something inside of me. Read this. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. That's in the New Testament. That is so... excuse me while I eat it. That's awesome. It's, you know what that's telling you and me? The author of Hebrews is telling you, you're not like them. Right there, he's telling you, you are a different, you're a different bunch. You have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. They're making a reference to the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. They're stuck in what was. But listen, you've been called to what is going on right now. You're called to a present move of God. You're called to eat some bread. You're allowed to eat it. You have permission to eat the bread. Which takes me to the story of David in 1 Samuel 21. Here David is. He's on the run. He's on the lam. He's running from Saul, King Saul. And he had to run fast because, you know, he was chasing him. And he goes to this priest. He goes to this priest and he says, listen, I'm hungry. And the priest looks back. Now, the priest looks back at David and says, we don't have anything here but the holy bread. Now, if you go back to Leviticus, you'll see that in Leviticus it says that the only people that are allowed to eat that are the priests. It is against the law for anyone else to eat this bread. And David, he has the wherewithal, the arrogance, he has the audacity to look at the priest and say, give it to me. I'll take some of that. That'll do just fine. Thank you very much. And the priest gives it to him. The priest gives it to him. Which is a foreshadow of Jesus and his disciples walking through it, because Jesus makes a reference to it in the story there. It's a foreshadow. It's telling you that those who are in Christ, they have the right to eat the bread of heaven. Present tense. Present tense. You have a right to eat the bread of heaven right now. For your moment, right now. You have the privilege and the right. What made David, what gave David this kind of attitude? What gave him this sense of, I'm privileged to eat this bread before it's time? What gave the disciples this kind of privilege, this kind of arrogant thinking? Because hunger creates kairos. Hunger creates kairos. And I'm closing, guys, you can come up now. What released bread to David? Hunger. What released the grain fields to the disciples? Hunger. You hunger and thirst for God. The moments that you live in, the moments that we live in, they will release heaven to you. Hunger releases heaven. You see, we don't have a faith problem in the church. I don't think that's where our problem exists. We have a desire problem in the church. We don't desire the bread of heaven. We're so full on McDonald's that the bread of heaven is not appealing to us. We're so full on the pretend that it's just not as appealing. We'll give it a 1 hour and a half on Sunday. We'll maybe give it an hour on Thursday. But the desire of God. Desire. An earnest hunger. A need. A deep need. Your earnest desire and need will manifest fields that are sown with heaven. Heaven's harvest awaits those who will desire it earnestly. You say, how do I create more desire? I don't really have it. I have it on Sunday. And I have it on Thursday when I'm here. And this worship's going. I got it now. I got some serious desire right now to have a God, to let God manifest in every moment, every kairos second I live in. I got it now. How do you do it? Your mind must be convinced. Your mind must, it must be occupied with your hunger. Ask a hungry person what they think about. You ask a hungry person, a real hungry person. When I go to Haiti, we go to this village, and there's real hungry people there. Not the kind that live down in Levitt homes. The real hungry people. Skinny hungry people. You know what I mean? Not poverty according to our definition, but poverty that says you don't have any bread. You know what they think about? You know what they meditate on? Food. I'm hungry. Give me food. Because the mind must be convinced. What we have to do within ourselves, church, is this. In 2014, this is what must happen. If we're going to manifest heaven on the earth, this is what's got to go down. We've got to convince our minds. We've got to create a campaign for God. I don't have the time to show it, but you know, Apple, they have campaigns, right? They have that one commercial with the kid. It seems withdrawn, but the whole time he's just cutting a video for the family on Christmas, right? And what does that make you do? It makes you think, man, I got to have that in my life. I need one of those things. Recently, Jeep's come out with a Cherokee. And every time I see it, I'm like, I got to have that. I want that. That's nice. And Jeep's doing a real good job of leading a campaign of desire inside of me to make me want it more. So much so that I got online and I'm trying to convince my wife to buy one. I'm like, Becky, you need this in your life. But they've led a campaign that's created a desire inside of me, has made me meditate on it. Because whatever you meditate on, it fuels the desire inside of you. It fuels desire inside of you. If we spend more time meditating and fueling the desire of God in our life, suddenly inside of us, we would begin to see the grain fields ripe. We'd look around everywhere and we'd see, man, every moment of potential of heaven to be released in the earth. We've got to lead a campaign in our life towards God. We've got to create in our mind this awareness of God in every second. Whew. Everywhere we go, we're like, oh, God, you're here. God, you're here. God, you're here. You wake up and you fuel the desire of God for your life. You go to sleep and you fuel the desire of God for your life. You eat your meal and you fuel the desire of God for your life. You go to the store and you fuel the desire of God for your life. You meditate. Imagination. The definition of imagination is the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. The imagination is powerful. It's so powerful that the porn industry spends $40 billion a year getting inside of men's minds. $40 billion. They spend $40 billion creating images to allure the desire of a man. If you think there's no power in your imagination, think about that. Think about the power of your imagination. How what you see fuels the desire of your life. And in 2014, what we're going to have to do is imagine God. Imagine God in this region. Imagine God. Come on with me in your mind. Imagine an outpouring of healing so mighty that disease is cut by 50% in the region. Come on, think about it in your mind. Imagine what it would look like. Imagine an outpouring of God's glory so strong in this region that violence is cut by 50%. You can't even explain it. Come on, imagine it. Because once you begin to imagine it in your mind, it's going to create a desire in your belly. And you're going to begin to see the manifestations of heaven and the earth. The grain fields will never look the same. You'll start looking at today, tomorrow, the day after that, and the first, as if days of potential loaded with the boom of God. Come on, this moment is loaded with the boom of God. And it waits for somebody to ignite it by faith. Ignite it by faith. I'm going to create a desire of heaven on earth that will release Kairos. Come on, say that to yourself. I'm going to create a desire of heaven on earth which will release Kairos. I'm going to release it. I'm that guy. I'm that dude. You're that woman. You're that young adult. It's you. You're that father. You're that mother. It's you. You're the one. Here's the thing. Let's all stand. Altar ministers, you can come forward. We have to stop wasting Kairos. We have to stop wasting. How much Kairos will you waste? If you've not been born again, meaning if you've not had an experience with Christ that's come inside of your life and transformed you. Like if your eyes have not been opened by this birthing experience of Christ, where you've been in His presence and you're like, oh my gosh, I can never be the same again. My eyes have been opened. I have seen the glory of God. If you've never had that experience, let me tell you, you are wasting Kairos. When I say wasting it, I mean you're throwing it in the garbage. You're throwing heaven in the trash by not being born again. How long will we throw heaven in the trash? You hear me? It's as if you're taking somebody's healing, crumbling it up. Give me a piece of paper. It's as if you're not born again, taking heaven. Not even worth it. Not even worth it. It's trash. Heaven's garbage. Heaven's so much better. Healing's so much better than cancer. It's so much better. You know what? Provision is so much more better than poverty. It is. Joy, it's a lot better than depression. It's better. So you're like, nah, you know what? I'm good. I'll keep that. Let me have some more of that disease. I'll take some more of that, and I'm just going to throw heaven in the garbage. And now I'm making this personal. I'm making this about you. This isn't about your neighbor. I'm talking to you. I'm talking about, are you born again? Do you have the Eternal One dwelling on the inside of you so much so that when you walk through the grain fields of the earth, you see heaven released? That's the kind of born-again talk I'm talking about. Not some throw your seat up into heaven and one day we'll get there. It'll all be good. I'm talking about releasing and manifesting heaven now. I'm talking about stuff that gets you so amped up when you wake up in the morning. You'll be like, I am a bad dude. Oh! When I go to fly into Haiti, when I'm flying into Haiti, when I'm coming into Port-au-Prince, there is this overwhelming sense of how bad God's made me. I'm telling you, I got goosebumps going. I got this Holy Ghost like, ooh, I'm about to kill the devil. I'm about to just get it on with this dude. I'm about to do to the devil what that dude did to Silva last night. He's going to try to kick me. He's going to break his leg. I'm untouchable to the devil. I'm above the law. You can't mess with me. That's the kind of life you get when you live in Christ. That's the amped up, purpose-driven stuff. Now that's a purpose-driven life. That gives your lungs oxygen. You wake up in the morning thinking, man, whoo, come get some, devil. I got something for you. If you're not born again and you'd like to be, if you'd like that kind of life, you want to live that kind of life right there where you're at, just ask Christ to come into your heart. Come on. Forget the religious, you know, do it. Just, Jesus, I need that. Jesus, I recognize you are the Son of God. You died for my sin. I feel the weight and the ache of sin on my life. I don't want it anymore. I feel the liberty of your Spirit, and I desire that. God, give me some of that, Jesus. Yes, amen, I want that. That's simple. That's simple. God, give me that kind of life. God, fuel. Whew. God, make me wake up every morning knowing that I'm a child of yours. And that I've been sent to this earth on a rescue mission. And I'm a dream lifter. I've been created to lift people into their dreams. Give me purpose and give me assignment. Give me destiny for my life. I need that more than I need the air I breathe. Oh my gosh, I can't live another worthless, penniless day in this earth without that. I gotta have that. That's real. And then, that's a born again. That's an altar call. You need to respond to that. If you're not born again, you need to respond to that. How do you respond to that? You respond to that. It's a personal response. You can come to the altar and you can kneel. You can come to one of these people up here and say, listen, I, what he was saying, I need that. Please pray with me some more. If you prayed that prayer, if you felt that hit your spirit today, we want to give you some stuff today as you leave. But then secondly, in 2014, church, let's make a covenant to fuel our desire to manifest heaven in the earth. And I mean like this focus on God, this imagining God doing some crazy impossible things. You know, God's just waiting for you to imagine the impossible so he can manifest it. He wants to manifest it, but you've got to see the fields ripened unto harvest. So let's fuel it in 2014. Let's see regional revival. Let's see regional healing. Let's see regional economic prosperity. Huh? Let's see some stuff that freaks the economists out. They look at it and go, that doesn't even make any sense. How in the world could God move like that in a city called Lorraine? How in the world could God do that? That doesn't make any sense. How in the world is God restoring the mistake on the lake over there? How in the world did the Cleveland Browns win 10 games? I mean, amen. Let's shoot for the stars, church. How did the Cleveland Browns make it to the playoffs? How did the Cleveland Cavaliers get LeBron James back? I said that. Amen. Let's believe. Let's fuel the desire of God in 2014. Come on, grab the hand of your neighbor. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every soul in this room, that they would be a fire for this generation, that they would be the one that ignites the spark that leads to the God explosion in this region. I pray, God, that they would sense the call of destiny and purpose, that they're a dream lifter, God, in the Spirit. I pray that they would never settle, but they would be filled with the joy of the Lord. They would be filled with the Spirit of the one who's resurrected, that they would never look at a situation with downcast. They would never look at a situation with doubt, but they would always believe, God, that you are able and you are capable of doing more than we could think, ask, or imagine. We bless you. We love you. We thank you today for those that accepted Christ into their life. We pray, God, for them specifically, that they would leave this place and they would ignite fire wherever they go. We bless them. We bless the hand that I hold. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Live right. Love everybody.